Good morning. Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Joy Heft. I welcome you into this Unitarian Universalist community with a quote from Johnny Moses, a master storyteller, oral historian, traditional healer, and respected spiritual leader of the Northwest Red Cedar Circle. When we come together like this as praying people, we strengthen each other spiritually to renew our soul. The Spirit is speaking to each of us to help each other work together. It does not matter what religion you follow. If you are a praying person, you love God, work together. Joining me on the chancel this morning is Speaker Jay Worthy. He's sitting here in the front pew. Jay has been part of the Red Cedar Circle for 22 years. The Red Cedar Circle comes from the Northwest Coast American Indian medicine tradition called Sacred Breath. Jay's taken many trips over these many years to the Seattle area and beyond, where he has had the great privilege of learning this ancient knowledge from the shaman and medicine people themselves. The Red Cedar Circle has been meeting and practicing these sacred rites at the Center for Spirituality and Sustainability at SIUE campus for 23 years and counting. They conduct open song and prayer circles, healing rituals, and communal rites in the tradition of the Northwest Coast medicine tradition that goes back thousands of years. If you are visiting with us today for the first time, we're glad you are here. I invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of the gray hymnal and put the card in the offering plate or hand it to an usher. We'll then send you our newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at church. The current newsletter and calendar, as well as pamphlets about Unitarian Universalism, are available through the information racks in the fellowship hall just behind this wall. We also have a staff nursery for infants and young children under the age of 5 through these doors and to the left, through the foyer to the first door on the left. In the front here, we have the spirit chair with quiet activities for all ages. Anyone may go to that chair at any time during the service and take an activity back to their seat. Children ages 5 and up are encouraged to attend religious education classes and will be dismissed later in the service. We welcome all of you into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. And for our announcements, Paula LaFon's uncle, Gene, passed away this week. So please keep Paula and Larry in your thoughts and prayers. And Paula and Larry were scheduled to facilitate the youth group today, but they won't be here. So if there's any kids in youth group, they will either need to stay in service today or they can go to the elementary classrooms. The first three pews on my left have been designated as fragrance-free, so please refrain from sitting there if you're wearing any kind of fragrance from personal care products or detergents. Also, please put your cell phones in airplane mode or turn them off. Signals from so many phones cause problems with our audio system. The Children's RE is still looking for volunteers to teach and assist in our elementary class and youth groups. So please see me or Jennifer Lewis after the service if you're interested. So I have a couple more announcements from Dorothy Wilson, sitting over there. The Healing Energy Group will meet at 6:30 tomorrow evening, Monday, February 13th, at the fireplace. We'll have guided meditations and good conversations. All are welcome. Please join us. And the list of needed items for this month's personal care distribution is on the board near the name tags in the fellowship hall. And we begin this morning's worship with a prelude. So as Maura lights our chalice, please join in saying the unison words found in your bulletin or projected on the wall. We light this chalice for the web of life which sustains us, for the sacred circle of life in which we have our being, for the earth, the sky, above and below, and for our Mother Earth, and for the mystery of life.
Mm-hmm.
Our call to worship is by Gary Kowalski. We gather here to worship, to seek the truth, to grow in love, to join in service, to celebrate life's beauty and find healing for its pain, to honor our kinship with each other and with the earth, to create a more compassionate world, beginning with ourselves, to wonder at the mystery that gives us birth, to find courage for the journey's end, and to listen for the wisdom that guides us in the quietness of this moment. Please rise in body or spirit to join in our first hymn, number 175. We celebrate the web of life in your gray hymnal are projected on the wall. And Nicole will play this through once. It's time for the children's story, and you be doing children. So if you want to, kids want to come up front, and Jay will. Just come up here, he's sitting right here, over here. Just so everybody else can hear.
All right. Good to see you all here today. It's always wonderful to see the bright eyes and the spirit of the children. And in the Northwest Coast Way that you're going to learn a little bit about and hear a couple of stories today, we're going to talk just briefly about how special are you children? How special are you? Well, the Northwest Coast Way, this is a way that goes back 3,500 years, and the way in which the people value the children is the most precious gift that the Creator can give to the world is the birth of a beautiful child. And any time the people of the Northwest come together in ceremony, in communal ritual, just as we're coming here today, they always begin the ceremonies with the youngest child comes to the front of the ceremonial area. And the child, all of the people raise their hands and they connect to the energy. The person that leads the gathering says, "Oh, Creator, thank you so much for the birth of this beautiful child. Your hand just touched this beautiful child, and your beautiful love and creative energy that came from this small seed is the energy of God, is the energy of life. And it is the spring from which God gives us life and our ability to connect to the world and to the universe. And your beautiful energy of the child is what brings all of the energy of the ceremony together. It starts, it lights the fire of the ceremony. It's taking the precious energy of the child and letting that beautiful energy share with all the people in the crowd. So as the energy comes and as the leader of the ceremony begins the ceremony, the child comes to the front. They all raise their hands and thank the Creator for the beautiful energy of the child. And in that time, the energy of the Creator is all spread to all the people through their hands. And that is how they bring the energy of God into their soul, into their heart, to begin the rituals and the ceremonies that they do. So you are very, very special to the people. Oy haichka sitzot siyam.
Sing our children to their classes. The purpose of the church is to encourage all who gather here to grow more generous in spirit and in action. This is the great end of all the world's faith traditions, to bring the human being closer to the divine by acts of creation and compassion. We now take an offering that allows us to exercise an all-important generosity of spirit, an offering that will support this self-supporting church and its many ministries. The gifts of this congregation will be most gratefully received and joyfully given. Please join me in reciting our offering blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves, and these are our offerings. At each worship service, we take time to recognize the joys and sorrows, the celebrations and struggles of this community. We do this by taking a stone or stones from the bowls as we enter or from the bowl here at the chancel. We allow the stones to bring us into awareness of those things most important in our lives through thought or meditation. We then place the stones in the cleansing waters. If you have joys, sorrows, celebrations, or struggles you wish to recognize, you are invited to come forward now in a ritual of joy and sorrow. Following this prayer, there will be a moment of silence for you to meditate in your own way. It's called Prayers and Dreamings. Spirit within all, mysterious force giving shape to life, miraculous source and river of being, help us to know who we are, to see our place in the history of the earth and in the family of things. Help us to see that we are part of all that ever was, our grandmother's prayers and our grandfather's dreamings, our mother's courage and our father's hope. In our bones lies the calcium of antediluvian creatures. In our veins courses the water of seas. We are part of all that ever was, born of this earth, riders upon a cosmic ocean. We are not separate from nature, we are nature. Part of that same spirit that turns scales into feathers and birdsong into speech. We live by the sun, we move by the stars. We eat from the earth, we drink from the rain. O great spirit, help us know who we are and fill us with such love for this holy creation and gratitude for this awesome gift we call living, that we might claim our inheritance and live out our calling to bless the world and each other with our care. Amen. So please rise in body and spirit and join in singing our next hymn, number 387, The Earth, Water, Fire, and Air, found in your gray hymnal or projected on the wall. We'll repeat this 7 times, 4 times at a regular tempo, and then to help us end it, 3 times we're going to slow it down, slower than we're singing it already.
Well, I'm very happy to be here today speaking with you about this ancient Northwest Coast American Indian tradition called the Sacred Breath tradition, or in the Lushootseed language of Chief Seattle is called the Sisiawis, which is the wis, the sacred breath. The very first thing we do when we enter the world is take a breath, and we're born, and in the spirit of that, we're birthed in water, and the water is very sacred, and the water is the most sacred thing. So in The ceremonial and ritual way of the Northwest Coast, we usually begin any of our rites or our rituals with a song, and I'm going to sing a brief water blessing song. And in the Northwest Coast tradition, if you feel moved to sing along, our communal energy is coming together in song is often how we bring all of our consciousness together when we're beginning to do our rites and our rituals. And it's the water blessing song. Whenever we're doing ceremony, this is kind of the amen, I guess you would want to say. This is taking what's in your heart, lifting it up to the Creator, and bringing all of the creation back into your own heart. So it's, whoa. So I'm wearing here today in the typical ceremonial rites of Cecilius when we come together in the Red Cedar Circle, which is the it is the communal ritual that brings all of the people together, just as we're coming here today. And because the community is often spread out in such vast distances from one another, oftentimes coming together as a community was the only time anyone would ever see each other out in the country. And most of the people working together communally to gather food, get themselves stocked up for the winter, and to help one another get through the winter. So the community is very, very important, and the ceremonial rituals in the Cecilius tradition are all about bringing all of the people together and bringing all the intentions, setting the intention of the people. Just as we have the berry gatherers and the totem pole carvers and the canoe makers and the jewelry makers and the people weaving the clothes and the basket weavers, you know, everyone has a bit in keeping the community thriving and surviving. And the Red Cedar Circle was the more open gathering that would bring everyone together. And when individual parts of the group needed to branch off in special groups, people that were suffering losses, people that were ill, the medicine people and the shaman would often go off into another section of the longhouse, and the healers would go over and work on people for specific issues and things like that. So once the Red Cedar Circle would sort of bring all the people together, the various medicine people would come together and break off in different groups. Often the women would break off and get together. The men often getting things organized for what they have to do for a gathering of meat and fish and the smoking and curing of meat, and all of that has to be coordinated to get everyone to get through the winter. So the Red Cedar Circle was really the basis for which all of the people came together, and then the business of the community was usually handled after the ritual side of the people was taken care of. But they always believed that it was most important for the people to first come together, to pray together, and to ask for the blessings of the creation to help them in what they were, the task that they were assigned to do, so the people could survive and have the opportunity to raise their children and keep their community thriving and living in a very symbiotic relationship where everyone, you know, there were no Walmarts and there were no internets and things like that back in those days. So, you know, face-to-face communication and togetherness was a necessity for the people there. And so I'm very happy to be here just to sort of briefly talk about the ritual traditions of the Red Cedar Circle. And I am wearing the traditional colors right now. This is a red and black and blue and white. And in the ceremonial way, the people usually wear the colors as an altar cloth so that they will be blessed with the healing and the teachings of the colors as they are doing the rituals together. So the very much like what the Unitarian Church is, the Cecilist medicine way is a universalist tradition. It is an open medicine society. Now, many of the American Indian medicine societies, not just in the Northwest Coast, but all over the world, are closed medicine societies, and their teachings and ways are specifically for their tribe or for their clan, and they do not share the knowledge, and they don't appreciate others trying to get access to their knowledge. So that we have an open medicine society is more of a rarity in the Native American community than it is, especially when you get into very specific tribal arrangements on the reservations and that sort of thing. So that the Cecilists has been around for documented, the first documented, quote, teaching circles that were happening 3,500 years ago, going up the coast of Alaska and coming all the way down the Northwest. And the teaching gatherings were very important to, again, for the people that were tasked with taking care of the business of whatever they do. That was all handled during the circle outside of the rituals. So the wearing of the altar and the wearing of the colors is to just increase our spirit power and our focus and to help us during our ritual ceremonies. Now, this is a tradition that does believe in a, quote, creator. It believes creator basically planted a seed here, and we are free to do with that seed as we please. So they don't believe in a creator that micromanages everything. The creator just sort of gave this, planted this seed here in this part of the universe, and here we are. So they don't have any kind of a particular religious order. In the Cecilist tradition, there are tribal members. There is a chief, and there is someone leading the tribe. And in terms of the religious order and the religious rites, all of the people were considered to be equal. So the bell that I was ringing for the song, the bell is what they use traditionally to, it is what we call the new medicine. The bell represents what came when the teachings of Christ came. And there was an aspect of the Indian community that connected with the Holy Spirit. They're called the Indian Shakers, and they're another Indian religious tradition that is a part of the Cecilist family, because the Cecilist embraces all people in all ways. So in the in the ceremonial ways, we basically begin with a song. As I said, we have an altar that we set up, and if you are at all interested in learning about this in more detail, you can come and visit us. We meet the first Saturday of every month at the Center for Spirituality and Sustainability at SIU Edwardsville, and can get much more into the details of what we do. But the thing I really wanted to bring out today in this brief amount of time that we have, because it is a vast tradition, and I've been very blessed to have, through the connections, through the Religious Studies Department at SIU Edwardsville, to get access to the actual medicine people and the shaman themselves, where we were working in a knowledge preservation project called the Grandmothers Project, which we're gathering all of these grandmothers that are still alive and basically putting them in front of a microphone and just letting them tell us whatever knowledge they would share with us. And we have about a 1,500-hour archive, as I speak, of knowledge that has been shared from these grandmothers. So we're in the process of sifting through all of this archive and putting it into a archival material that will be available to all people to have access to. So I'm very excited about that. So much like the encyclopedia teaches us about a lot of different things, in the Northwest Coast tradition, the storytelling is pretty much the encyclopedia of the people. It tells, it teaches the people about the traditions. It tells them about their ancestors. It really is the heart and the soul of the people, and the knowledge carriers and the medicine people and the shaman believed very powerfully in the storyteller as one of the most important aspects of the society, because if the storyteller didn't know the right stories, they wouldn't have the right knowledge to pass down. So the storyteller in the Northwest Coast was very, very important, because that was literally how they passed down the knowledge. So I want to give you just a brief window into the stream of consciousness of the Northwest Coast people through the stories. So I've got a couple of stories I just want to read here for you, and so just to kind of enjoy. This story that I want to share is called Knowledge Returns to the Land from the People's Baskets. This is a very old story of an old medicine woman. Long ago, there was this real old woman. This old woman had many, many different kinds of helpers. Even though she never went out to look for medicine power, she inherited many gifts, and she had many different elders, elderly women that would come to visit her. They were spirits. And whenever she'd go with them, she'd go digging roots, maybe in the springtime. Digging roots or gathering roots in late April and the month of May, she'd go and gather some of these roots. She would peel bark, cherry bark, and different kinds of other barks. She'd peel, and the grandmother spirit of the cedar tree would speak to her. The grandmother cedar tree would tell her, "The tree will grow back again, and the next generation will live." Maybe the grandmother would plant some more cedar seeds at the cedar tree, and the song would help them to travel. And if you don't sing any songs, the tree will stop growing and stop helping, and helping the future generations. So this is what she learned from this grandmother cedar tree, just from going out to look for roots. It was the same way with the cherry tree. It would tell her the same thing. Every tree she went to, it had a grandmother spirit that would speak to her, and she would wonder why all these grandmother spirits would talk to her. She was just a normal person. She didn't really pray that much, and she didn't go to ceremonies that much. She couldn't understand why these spirits would talk to her. There were a lot of big doctoring people in the village, very strong medicine people, and they would have to work very hard before they could get even one little message from the spirits of these grandmothers. But here she was, a poor person, a poor old lady, and she thought it was a kind of humorous thing. She thought, well, maybe someday I'll ask. She was just thinking this. She was thinking about when she was right out of the middle of the forest. She was carrying all these roots in the back of what they called the burden basket. A burden basket is a basket you carry on your back that has a headband to balance and carry part of the weight. And as she was walking, she was thinking about this. Gee, it seems so funny that these grandmother spirits are talking to me. I don't really do that much. I don't think of myself as a very powerful person in the village or as a medicine woman of any kind. And while she was thinking about this, all the roots that were in her basket began to sing. These were singing a song, singing her song. And they got done singing and they said, "Oh, the reason why the grandmothers like to talk to you is because you don't know anything and because you don't try to get more power with what you know." And she thought, my goodness, I better not think out loud anymore. I don't want the roots to get mad at me and go back into the ground. So she was silent. She just thought of good, nice, quiet things, like lying in bed resting, or eating nice, warm food and visiting someone in a relaxed way. That's all she'd think of when she was walking back, so she wouldn't have to talk to these cedar roots, and she was carrying them on her back. And there she was making her cedar root basket, and she would kind of laugh to herself. She had beautiful songs, and they would just come out of nowhere. Sometimes they would just come out of her wall, even out of her walls would speak to her. One of the first songs she learned from that was the West Wall, and it sang to her and said, "Oh, my dear one, don't climb the walls," the walls were telling her. "You don't want to go crazy and climb the walls." She thought it was so strange all these things would speak to her. Then she figured it out. "Oh, that's right, my walls are made of cedar planks, red cedar tree, of course." And as soon as she said that and was thinking out loud, she heard all the walls around her sing, "Well, of course." So she decided to pray. She had received a way to pray when she was just a little girl, and she'd play house, play with other kids. And she pretended she was an Indian doctor then, because the little kids pretend to be many different things. When she was a little girl of about 5 years old, she pretended she was a real big Indian doctor. And she got water, a bowl of water, and she'd start to throw the water on the ground, and the drops would fall. And that was her way of praying. She'd say, "This is how I talk to you, Mother Earth. I put all my thoughts in the water. And then when I throw it, all the drops you see on it, that's the way I talk to you. The drops, when they hit the ground, that's my prayers talking to the Great Mother. That's the water talking to the Great Mother. So that's what she did. She got a bowl of water. And now that she was an old lady, she put her left hand in the water and she started throwing water on the ground, walking counterclockwise all the way around her house. Then she'd pour the water outside the east door. She talked to the floor, and it was hard dirt floor, and she asked the mother, "Mother, please open the door. Open the door and tell her why these things speak to her." And the Mother Earth began to sing her a song and gave her a song. And this is all she received, a song from the Mother Earth. She didn't know what the message was. She just knew the song. And as time went on, she finished a very beautiful basket. And this basket had so many beautiful designs in it. It had flowers woven into it, mountains, raindrops, spirits. And when she finished this basket, she was looking at her basket, admiring it. And while she was admiring it, she could hear the basket speaking to her. And the basket said, "Oh, don't I look so beautiful?" "Oh, yes, you do. You do look very beautiful," it said. And then she said to herself, "What am I doing talking to a basket?" And the basket said to her, "What are you doing talking to a basket?" "It's just a normal thing, as long as there's nobody around, of course. They'd think that you were just an old senile woman. That's what they thought of me, that I was just an old senile root. All these cedar trees around, the young generation, and that's what they think of us. Yes, they do. So we're real happy when you folks come and dig us up and make beautiful baskets out of us." Well, she had learned many things just by making the basket and receiving these pretty songs. She didn't know why all these things were this way. And there was a great darkness that came over the land. This darkness was an imbalance of many people, a sickness of anger. The people began to kill each other, killing with great anger. And this old lady, she wondered what was going to happen with all the beautiful teachings of the people. So she prayed in the only way that she knew, just to thank the Creator. And she would say, "Thank you, Creator." And that's all she would say. That's the only way she knew how to pray. She was just a very poor old woman who had nothing but a cedar root basket. She had no family. She had no one. There, she began to see the floor move. And this must have been a vision that she was receiving. She could see all these water drops, and these water drops were coming up from the earth. And those were the water drops that she had thrown into the mother before and over the years, starting from when she was a 5-year-old little girl. And the earth spoke to her and said, "We are returning the words and all of the things you've collected. When you were digging roots, when you were gathering roots, when you were preparing them, when you were making the baskets, little did you know that you were gathering the teachings of your people, preparing the teachings for your people, putting together the teachings of your people used to hold them together with beautiful designs. And death came over their village, and most of the people died of the new diseases that came. People died of smallpox, they died of the cold, they died of many common things that they did not know." And this old lady, she began to cry, and she said, "Now I am really alone. I am the only one left. There was only one other person that was left in this village. There was a little girl in this village. And this little girl didn't know what was going on. This lady took the little girl into her house and she said, 'We will burn all the longhouses down. We must move to another place to start a new life because I think our baskets here are tired of living here.' Afterwards, they had buried most of the people, wrapped them up and put them in the trees. Some of the people they couldn't put in the trees because they were too heavy. So they just left them lying by the tree. And the old lady burned down all the longhouses and there were 5 of them left. Then the old lady took all the baskets that she had in her home and she gathered them. But before she had burned down all the houses, she had taken one basket from each home. They told the lady to the little girl, 'Take each basket and fill it 4 times. Take it to the water and say to the basket, all the feelings of the people return to the land 4 times.' And this is what the little girl did. And she had so much fun. She'd run back and forth giggling away and laughing. She never had so much fun in her life, running back and forth and taking her neighbor's baskets and dumping them into the water 4 times. After all this work was done, they got all the baskets into the canoe and they journeyed on. They looked back at the village that was burning. And the old lady said, 'Now I know why I have worked this long.' The little girl looked at her and said, 'Of course.' The old lady looked at the little girl and she said, 'Oh, you're the little spirit that was in my wall. Didn't you happen to be a cedar root before?' They journeyed and started over again, and they carried all the teachings of the people, the teachings that they had memorized from the cedar baskets, and the people began to return. The people began to build new villages and new places, and some people rebuilt new villages in the old places where the new diseases had come. After the people had lived there for quite some time, the old lady returned to many of these places and returned the baskets. And she told the people to carry these baskets and to go out and learn from the land. And some of the younger people would say, "Why is she sharing the teachings with me?" And they would think about it, and they'd hear a little voice that would say, "Of course." This elderly lady lived a long life. She lived to be a very strong healing woman, and she had never claimed her healing, but she shared her healing with many people. She prayed for many people. All she would do was lay her hands on a person's head or lay them on some part of their body, and she would say, "Oh, thank you, Creator." Then she would sing a beautiful song, and the beautiful song would gather in the shape of a canoe and carry the sickness away from the person's body. So when you go into the forest today, as you are walking by yourself, sometimes you might feel like a real old lady, and sometimes you'll feel like a small little girl that's having so much fun gathering roots. And that is all. So this story speaks to the belief in the Cecilius way that the earth holds all of the knowledge, and if we are worthy of receiving the knowledge, the earth will give us the knowledge. When we pray to the earth and ask for the knowledge to come to us, our tears go into the ground, and the mother hears those tears. All of the messages that come to us are communicated, all of our spirit and all of our intention are contained in that water, and the water is so sacred and precious when it hits the earth. All of our prayers are there, so the mother knows our prayers. And so, as in the Cecilius tradition as well, when we share a story, we share a teaching that has prayers, we sing a song to help those prayers carry. And I'm going to finish by sharing a song called Tall Cedar Tree. And in this song, we have four verses. Tall cedar tree, clap your hands and sing with me. Clap your hands and dance with me. Clap your hands and heal me. Clap your hands and pray for me. So please feel free to join, sing along as your spirit guides you. Yeah. Joy, I don't really have much more. If there's any questions I can answer for you at the end of the service, I'll be happy to answer any questions that I can. And I'm, again, very grateful and happy to be here and share just a little bit of the soul of the Siwas people. Oh,
thank you, Jay. For our benediction, go forth in simplicity, find and walk the path that leads to compassion and wisdom, that leads to happiness, peace, and ease. Welcome the stranger and open your heart to a world in need of healing. Be courageous before the forces of hate. Hold and embody a vision of the common good that serves the needs of all people. And go in peace, and thank you.